you guys, and welcome back to That's Insane, a podcast where I talk about murder, medicine, and maybe more, but most definitely more because there's a lot of weird shit out there. I am your host. My name is Aurelia, and today we actually have a maybe more case or story or whatever you want to call it. But before we get into that, first of all, you probably hear my dogs playing in the background. At this point, you're just going to have to get used to it because this is literally my life 24/7. That was a little aggressive of them. Let's talk about the fact that this episode is a week late, shall we? I feel like I cannot catch a freaking break when it comes to consistency in this podcast. So I worked all last weekend and I worked the evening shifts, and post-COVID fatigue is super real on top of the fact that I already am tired all the fucking time. I worked all weekend, and so I was like, oh, well, I have Monday and Tuesday to like finish my research and record and like blah, blah, blah. So Monday evening, I had finished all my stuff for the day, had done, you know, a little workout or whatever the fuck I did. I don't even remember. Came home, went to watch like a show while I sat down and finished this. No internet. So then I spent like 30 minutes trying to do it myself. Then I contacted the charter help and she was like, yeah, it's all messed up. Somebody's going to have to come out, which, ugh. And then they couldn't come out until like later Tuesday evening. So I was literally living like a caveman on Monday, had no internet, couldn't watch anything on TV, couldn't look up anything on my computer. Like, I was like, I may as well just go to fucking bed. Anyway, so then it took a while for them Tuesday because like one of the wires or something wasn't working. So he had to replace that. And then we tried to get it to work and it still wouldn't. So then we had to replace the modem. And by the time everything was said and done, I was like, I'm fucking over this day. And I had to work at 8 a.m. the next day. So I had to meal prep and do all this other stuff. And I was like, I simply can't. And then I worked. And then I worked again. So I really do be trying. But fate has other plans for me. But you know what? You're getting the episode. And it is great. I think it's really cool. And let's just get into it. I do have a trigger warning for this episode. There is a trigger warning for suicide. It's mentioned quite a bit. So if suicide is something that triggers you or really upsets you, probably is not the episode for you, but there are tons of other episodes that you can check out, and I highly encourage that you do so. But if you are going to stick around for this, then buckle up. I find this topic fascinating, and I hope you guys do too. So, and I'm sure you will because we're all the same. Like if you're listening to this, we're the same. So today I'm going to talk about the Aokigahara Forest, aka the Suicide Forest. So let's kind of start with just a general overview. So the Aokigahara, which I hope I'm saying that right, Aokigahara Forest is also known as the Sea of Trees. And then, of course, more famously, it's known as the Suicide Forest. And it's a forest on the northwestern aspect of Mount Fuji on the island of Honshu in Japan. Parts of this forest on the western edge are super popular for tourists and like school trips, but there are parts of the forest that are extremely dense because the ground is mostly made of like porous lava rocks, because it said like in 842 or something, Mount Fuji like erupted and then all this lava came out and that formed like the ground of the forest. And there was also, I don't think I mentioned this later, but there were also like, I'll post all these photos, but basically since the trees can't grow like deep into the rocks, obviously, there's like all these like spindly, I thought my dog was going to hack. So anyway, but there's all these like spindly roots because they have like nowhere else to grow. Anyway, but it's super dense from the porous lava rocks and that absorbs a lot of the sound. So it's already super eerie and then it's just super quiet because of that. So the forest has a long reputation as a home to Yurei or Yudei. I heard two different pronunciations, but they are the Japanese version of like ghosts, essentially. And I kind of get into it a little bit more because there's kind of different interpretations on what Yurei are, but overall they're like spirits or ghosts. Since the 1960s, the Aokigahara Forest has become associated with suicide, and it's actually gained the reputation as one of the world's most used suicide sites. Because of this, there's actually a bunch of signs at like the head of some of the trails, like at the entrance, urging suicidal visitors to think of their families and contact a suicide prevention hotline or association. Some examples of these signs would be like, quote, life is a precious gift from your parents, or quietly think once more about your parents, siblings, or children, and please don't suffer alone and first reach out. There's also an annual search that has been ongoing by the police or volunteers and even journalists since like the 1970s. So this is like a ongoing thing. There's even areas where you can camp in Aokigahara Forest, but visitors that bring tents actually draw more attention to themselves, as it's believed that people having a multiple day stay are there to contemplate ending their life. So the forest volunteers and the prevention patrol will usually approach these visitors and like gently talk with the campers and encourage them to leave the forest. So there are literally people that are like just walking around the forest looking for people that potentially are like suicidal to try to talk them out of it. So like I mentioned, this forest has become widely known as a suicide forest, and sadly, it does see numerous people take their own lives each year, and it's the second most common place in the world to commit suicide. Just ahead of that is the Golden Gate Bridge, which I don't think I knew is the most popular place in the world. I knew it was one of the most popular, but I did not know in the world. In 2003, 105 bodies were found in the forest, which was over 30 more than the previous year. And over the last few years, Japanese officials have stopped publicizing the numbers of both bodies found and attempts in the forest in hopes to decrease the forest's association with the suicides and then discourage others from following in the deceased's footsteps. The suicide rates are said to increase in March of each year because that is when the fiscal year ends in Japan. Japan is also ranked 26th globally among age-adjusted suicide rates. In 2015, it sat at 15.4 suicides per 100,000, according to the WHO, like the World Health Organization. And then men account for a little over double than women. This number is higher than most developed nations, including the United States, which sits at about 12.6 per 100,000 people. One study actually found that the suicide death rates were on the decline in many peer nations from 1985 to 2010, except in Japan, which saw an increase by like 20%. And South Korea also increased by like 280%, which is wild and horrible. However, this increase during that time frame is suspected to be mostly due to the economic crisis in Japan that happened in the late 1990s. In 2010, 247 people attempted to take their life in the forest, with 54 people succeeding. The most common method of suicide in the forest is hanging, and then unfortunately drug overdose is right behind that. Shockingly, at least to me, this forest's association with suicide predates even the 1960s. There are reports of people finding decomposing bodies in the forest in like the 1950s, and it's suspected that ubasute, which is a mythical practice of senicide, which is when an elderly relative is carried to the mountains or would go off to a remote area and is left to die or goes there to die. It was said that this occurred in like the feudal times when food was scarce and people basically had to like get rid of a mouth to feed. Many argue that ubasute was never a real tradition, but more so just like a product of folklore. And those that are left to die are frequently associated with being the yurei that haunt the forest. So I saw another thing that was talking about how like Japan, which I again don't know if I touch on this later, but Japan's like view on suicide is different than like the Western world, because it's not like a moral, like it's not associated with like a religion. It's not like a moral issue, and that samurais, like it was first mostly associated with samurais because samurais would kill themselves, but because they couldn't like integrate with society, it wasn't seen as actual suicide. And I can't remember if I saw it was like an honor thing, but like it's I don't want to say it's been like a tradition, but it's been under a different lens in the Japanese culture than in like the Western culture, which is really interesting to me. So local authorities have made several attempts to curb the suicides in the forest, like posting security cameras at the entrances of the forest in hopes that they can track those who walk inside. And then other attempts by the local government include raising the height of bridge rails, training volunteers to talk to potentially suicidal visitors, increasing police patrolling in the entrances of the forest, and then discouraging movies and TV shows that might promote the forest reputation as a place to end your life, which there was literally a movie in like 2015 or 2016 about this forest, essentially, because like it's the girl from The Hunger Games, the one that has like half a shaved head. That was my dog hitting her head on the desk. But I think the movie, I think it's called The Forest, but it's literally... this girl is like a twin, and I think her sister like goes there to die, and she like calls her to the forest. I don't really know. But anyway, they try to discourage that shit. But what's crazy enough is that there's actually a book that I'm not going to name for obvious reasons that was written by a Japanese author with step-by-step instructions on committing suicide. And it like describes the Aokigahara Forest as the perfect place to die. And it even provides like what bus routes to take, how to avoid drawing suspicion, like the best modalities. It's really fucked up and morbid. And it said that several bodies that are recovered in the forest are found with copies of this book. I don't know if that's true, but certainly not out of the realm of possibility. So let's kind of talk about like the folklore behind it, because as we know, tons of the popular places that are like creepy or eerie or famous in the world, I feel like revolve a lot around folklore that is then taken as truth. So like I mentioned, it said that the yurei haunt the forest, and the yurei are known to wear clothes that they died in or that they were buried in. They also might wear their burial kimonos, and their hair is normally like long and covers their face. I think I saw somebody say like, think about The Grudge, which is super creepy. Like when I was first reading this, I was like, oh, it's like, you know, their hair is long and they're like flowing. No, it's like, I guess, more creepy. These yurei are also said to roam the forest, and they're filled with vengeance and anger, and they torment the visitors and lure those who are sad and lost off the paths. So obviously getting lured off the path in a forest isn't ideal, but in the Aokigahara Forest, it's even worse because the trees are so dense that many visitors and volunteers have to mark their path with tape or like plastic ribbons, or they leave like a trail of some kind. And this happens like when they leave the path to like search for bodies, like I guess the volunteers and stuff. But other times, the tape and ribbons are left by workers to help others find their way back. But volunteers, patrol, and hikers often discover other items besides bodies as well. It's not uncommon to come across like scattered personal belongings, like moss-covered shoes, photographs, briefcases, notes, ripped clothing, etc. And to me, even more eerie, they will see nooses hanging and empty bleach bottles that are found among other items, but like, there might not always be a body with it because it could be decomposed. Yurei are often seen as similar to like demons to some Japanese. And because of this, many Japanese locals refuse to enter the suicide forest under any circumstances. Today, though, it's thought that the yurei in the forest are not vengeful, but rather those that are sad and miserable that took, which I don't like the word miserable, but basically like hopeless almost, and took their own lives in the forest. So kind of like what we would associate with a, there's like different types of, oh my gosh, that's my dog. There are like different types of apparitions. Like there's the ones that like repeat themselves, and then there's ones that are like attached to a place or something, basically that. So in late 2017 or like early 2018, some of you guys might remember this. I totally forgot about this until I was researching, but YouTuber Logan Paul started major controversy over the suicide forest when he visited and he filmed and posted a YouTube video in the Aokigahara Forest, which showed the body of a suicide victim on camera. And this obviously shocked many viewers. I think I read that it got like 6.2 million views in 24 hours. And he like did an up close of the face. Like it was just super disrespectful. It sparked tons of backlash because it was clearly super tone deaf, especially of the treatment of suicide and mental health. I think that it was said that he was like chuckling in the video, but it was just tone deaf for the treatment of mental health, as well as the fact that someone, especially a foreigner, would trivialize and monetize off of someone's suffering. When he like did take it down, he of course like defended himself and said like he was raising, like trying to raise awareness, but it's like, okay, well, there are totally other ways to do that than posting a stranger's dead face and, you know, death on the internet for millions of people. It's really gross, but that did happen. I'm just going to take like a hard left turn because I didn't know how to fit this in. But the forest floor, like I said, is mostly volcanic rock. And there are false reports that the forest is a place where like compasses go haywire. This is true if a magnetic compass is set like directly onto the lava rock, which will make the needle align with the rock's natural magnetism. However, if you hold it at like a normal height and you're not like kicking it along the ground, the compass works just fine. There's also high levels of iron in the soil, which will interfere with GPS and cell services, which adds to the eeriness. It's like the classic, like you try to call and there's no signal on your phone, which low-key I feel like is true for any forest if you get deep enough into it. But anyway. And the way that the forest is depicted, especially in like English texts, make the forest sound like it's super dark and eerie. I hope you can't hear my dog giving you ASMR smells. Anyway, it's dark and eerie and haunting, but it's in fact like super beautiful, super scenic. It's a really popular hiking spot with like lots of caves to explore. Like I said, people go on like school trips. So it's literally just like a normal forest or like a normal area that you would go hike in, but there's like certain parts of it with this horrible dark history. But this is also a total sidebar, kind of. But another popular destination for suicides in Japan are the Tonjimbo Cliffs, which tower a seaside cliff wall where several people leap to their death. But in 2017, there was a sudden drop in suicides at the cliff, which was somewhat credited to the popularity of Pokemon Go. I guess it was like people were going to that area, so people like couldn't go there and jump off. I thought that was super wild. Now, I'm going to talk about some like stories or like legends. I really couldn't find that much. I was kind of surprised. I really don't know how accurate any of these are. They could be totally made up. They could just be urban legends. But in the spirit of creepiness, let's just go with it. There are reports that people often hear blood-curdling screams while hiking or wandering through the forest. There was a writer from the Japan Times that said he had an incident where he heard this terrifying scream and he went searching for it, followed where it came from, and he came across a body of a deceased man at the base of the tree. But it was apparent that this man had been deceased for quite a while and there was no way that he could have made that scream. So that's creepy. And then the Aokigahara Forest is also considered by most Japanese religions to be a very spiritual place for obvious reasons, but it doesn't always mean a good spirit. Like I said, the yurei are thought to be maybe vengeful, hard to tell. Several Buddhist monks have set up altars to try and combat what they believe are the evil spirits that haunt the forest and draw people in to die by suicide. What brought these sad, broken people to the forest in the first place, though, ultimately will always remain a mystery. And that is the Aokigahara Forest, aka the Suicide Forest. How insane, how interesting and sad and morbid and just so much history packed into one forest. And it's just super interesting. I kind of want to go just to see it. And also because I'm really morbid, I obviously wouldn't want to go like search for a dead body. Low key though, I feel like I would be more creeped out by the personal belongings that are like left behind that have like moss growing on them or like are scattered. Like I feel like that's more eerie to me. Obviously it would be super creepy and sad and everything to find a deceased person, but I work in the emergency room and I work in medicine, so I feel like it's not as shocking. But I guess if I was just walking down the street and just like going about my business, I would be more shocked. But if I'm going to a place that's notorious for having deceased people, maybe it would be less shocking. It would still be creepy, but I just feel like the personal belongings would be more spooky and like send a shiver up my spine, because then I just sit there, I'm like, somebody was wearing these shoes and they like took them off when they came here. Or somebody was like, somebody literally wrote in this book. I don't know. That's just me. Also, on that note of walking down the street, minding my business, I need to know how many people, when you're driving down the road, you think two things. You see either a garbage bag or something on the side of the road and you're like, I wonder if there's something in there. Or like there are times that I'm driving, I'm like, this would be like a really good place to dump a body. You guys don't feel that way? I've never thought that either. I just heard that other people think that way. And I just, you know, wanted to know if you do. I don't either. I don't know who would think that, but it's not me. Anyway, I forgot to mention this, but as always, all the sources are going to be in my show notes. So if you want to do a little research of your own, that was my dog, obviously. There's all kinds of research. There's a lot of books on this as well. So definitely something to check out. But that's really all I have. Again, I'm sorry that it was late, but I can't control the internet yet. So it just is what it is. But we're back in business. And I really hope that you enjoy this. Next week will be a medical case. I'm kind of juggling between two, so we'll just kind of see what the vibe and like what the mood is. But one keeps coming to my head, so you'll just have to tune in to see what that is. But that's where I'm going to leave you. As always, I think so. Like, rate, subscribe, review, whatever you're supposed to do. Share this podcast with others so that they can join in on the fun. Don't be selfish. Don't be stingy. It's 2024. We're not gatekeeping. You can send any crazy medical cases, weird true crime stuff, or just weird shit in general that you want me to look into or that you want to share with me. Like if you've had an experience, you can send that to thatsinsanepodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Instagram @thatsinsane_podcast, right? Or maybe @thatsinsane_pod. And then I am on Facebook @thatsinsanepodcast. I think that's all I'm going to say today. So I hope that you guys enjoy it. And I hope you guys come back next Wednesday for another weird Wednesday. So until next time. Bye. This podcast was researched, recorded, and edited by me, Aurelia. The music is by my dad. Hi, Dad! If you are struggling with thoughts of suicide or are worried about a loved one, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 for free, confidential, and emotional support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.